received food, shelter, and, over time, their identity as a nation. Each year in June, the monsoon blows over the Ethiopian highlands. Near the Indian Ocean, the wind hits the mountains, which in places extend more than 4,550 meters into the sky. Where it meets the mountains, the monsoon sends cascades of rain over the surrounding flat, green plains, and down into Lake Tana, a huge body of water in the northwest of Ethiopia. From here, the water flows into the Blue Nile and on northwards. At Khartoum, the present-day capital of Sudan, the river becomes the White Nile. From there, in ancient times, before the Aswan Dam tamed the mighty power of the river, the mass of water continued to swell and rush through Nubia and Egypt. There the water flowed over the banks and flooded the surrounding fields before finally cascading into the Mediterranean far to the north. Mud gave life. When the river receded again a few months later, as well as a considerable number of edible fish, it left behind a thick layer of mud. This mud, saturated with minerals and salts, made the soil along the Nile some of the most fertile in the world. It was the perfect place for one of the most impressive kingdoms in the history of the world to flourish. For the people of ancient Egypt, the flood was the highlight of the year, and the Nile behaved with astonishing predictability. Everyone knew when the water would reach their area. The water levels began to rise in mid-August in southernmost Egypt. 4 to 6 weeks later, the water rumbled with unstoppable force over the Nile Delta, where it saturated the fields. When the river was at its highest, the water could cover the entire floodplain at a depth of up to 1.5 meters before receding sometime in early October. By the end of November, the banks of the Nile were so dry that during the mild winter, the farmers could begin to sow wheat and other crops to harvest the following year around April. When the harvest was over, the farmers left the fields empty so the baking sun would kill any pests or disease in the soil. The river's regular rise and fall meant that the inhabitants of the Nile Valley, unlike people elsewhere in the region who relied on more unpredictable rivers, such as the Euphrates and Tigris, rarely experienced famine caused by too much or too little water. When the Nile did occasionally fail, however, it had serious consequences. 2 meters lower than normal meant that a third of the floodplain remained dry. The people of the Nile planned for such an occurrence, though, by stockpiling grain in their storehouses. Hunters became farmers. The area around the Nile has always attracted people. The first human footprints in the Nile Valley were undoubtedly made when Homo sapiens began migrating from Africa, and discoveries of primitive tools tell archaeologists that some of modern man's ancestors moved into the Nile Valley 700,000 years ago. The earliest remains of huts or tents are between 250,000 and 90,000 years old. Throughout the millennia, the climate changed again and again, and life always followed the all-important rains. In many of today's barren desert landscapes, it rained regularly for long periods so that the terrain abounded with vegetation that was edible for both animals and humans. In other periods, both rain and life disappeared. Around the year 7000 BC, a change in climate began that made large parts of the present Sahara a fertile area, teeming with life. In the region around Lake Karen in the Fayum Oasis, a multitude of animal species, such as crocodiles, gazelles, elephants, and hippos, soon flocked, many of which have since disappeared. Humans also found life comfortable there. Discoveries of animal bones show that the early Egyptians' diet at that time consisted mainly of game and fish. But finely sharpened flint tools, with handles made from branches of tamarisk shrub, show that the people in the area gradually also began to cultivate the land. Wheat and barley were the preferred crops, and the farmers carried them home in long wicker baskets. Any grain that was not ground into flour was kept in storehouses. Most of the chambers that archaeologists have excavated are about a meter in diameter and 30 to 100 centimeters deep, with reinforced sides made of wicker. Wicker was also used for the earliest houses, which were oval and equipped with several fireplaces for cooking and providing warmth on cold evenings. Over time,